blessing and responsibilities of being a child of God. You know, in life, we all have had big, important days in our life. Whether it been your wedding day, your birthday, the birth of your kids, or some most important day that you can look back and look at pictures and cherish that most wonderful day that you may have. But the greatest day to me that I can remember, 1979, on a November day, one Thursday afternoon, when I was buried with him in the watery grave of baptism, to see my wife being buried in the watery grave of baptism, because that day made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. It put me in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:27. It gave me a closer walk with God because I knew at that time that I had a responsibility through desire and sincere milk of the word of God that I may grow thereby. And what I need you to understand as we go to the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. What is the responsibility? What is our role in relationship to being a child of God that we may have a closer walk with thee? In the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. What manner of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the love that God had toward us. And yet, while we were sinners, Christ still died on the cross. The love that God allowed his Son, Jesus Christ, to shed blood, and that blood purchased the church, Acts 20 and verse 28. And when you read this scripture in 1 John 3:1, when we read what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, there are numerous other scriptures that we can go through to show how God loved us. In spite of we were still sinners, Christ loved us enough that we may be called, Acts 11:26, Christians and Christians only. That we should be called, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, how we are called by the gospel, the good news. That's the reason why, brother, when I think about this gospel, which is 1 Corinthians 15, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I do not take it lightly. But if you love God, you will keep his commandments. The calling that we have received, but to be children of God, to be heirs of God, wherever it may be, we are called the sons of God. Therefore, the world know us not because I knew him. Let's go to James 1. We talked about that this morning. James chapter 1. And the first thing that I want us to see, that number one, the blessing that we have by being a child of God is the source of every good gift and every perfect gift from above. And you have James 1 and verse 17. I want you to tie it back to Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 11. And I'll look at both of them. That is, to be a Christian is to be blessed, because to be blessed is the point that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Amen. And only we who are in Christ Jesus, only us who endure temptation, but when we are tried, shall receive the crown of life based on the promise that we have in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we hear people taking that phrase, be blessed, too far. And the reason why I say that, to be blessed, number one, you got to be a child of God. To be blessed, you got to be called. To be blessed, you got to walk in the light as he is in the light. But where sin is, God is not. So when you go to 1 John chapter 1 and James chapter 1 and verse 17, he said every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. and cometh down from the Father of life, for whom there is no vileness, neither shall there be turning. Now go in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 11. Because in Matthew 7 verse 11, look at this blessing here. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Now, tie back to John chapter 14. Because John 14, 14, we've been talking about that for several weeks, says the same thing. That is James 1, 17. The source of every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. The source is that if we keep God's commandments, he will give us good gifts. And over in John chapter 14 and verse 14, we talked about this all the time. That if you shall ask anything in my name, or by my authority, or by the gospel, or by the calling, he said, I will do it to you, or for you. That is the blessing that we have, not based on a wedding day, not based on a birth of a child. Yes, that's good, and that's wonderful, amen. But we're talking about the benefits that we as Christians receive by understanding who we are, what we are, where we are. It all belongs to our Heavenly Father, who has blessed us with every good gift and every perfect gift, which is above. And guess what, brother? Don't you forget it. Don't you forget it. Because we who are only called by his name, we who are only Christ-like, we who are only disciples because we follow Jesus, we who are only Christ is our Lord, that is that he ruled over us, we have this blessing because we are blessed, because we have endured, we have perfected, we have matured. That is the blessing that we have based upon the promise through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, based upon the authority of the Word of God. And that's what makes this day a good day, a wonderful day, simply because who we are in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. And again, let me tell you, brother, don't take it for granted. Appreciate it. Cherish it. Love it. Because we who are Christians can only say that we are blessed. We are truly blessed. Amen. And it don't have to be highly favored. Amen. Because it's based upon the authority of the will of God. Go in the book of 2 Corinthians. Look at something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. I want to read from God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. See, once you are blessed, see, we get comfort. Let not your heart be troubled, amen. We have the comfort that is, whatever state we find ourselves in, we're just content. Because we are Christians, and because every good gift and perfect gift comes from above, that's the source of where it comes from, we have the comfort to realize that if God be for us, who can be against us? That's the comfort to realize. Listen, regardless of what happened in this world, regardless of how bad things may be, what a friend we have in Jesus. So in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, hear that word again. Blessed be God. 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God, Brother Frankie, it didn't say some comfort, it say all comfort. You need to underline that. See, mercies is we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, that's none righteous, no, not one. See, what God literally gives us, we don't deserve. That's grace, amen. That's unmerited favor. that the love of God, the love of God that he bestow upon us, that the source of every good and every perfect gift, it comes from above. That in spite of who we are, what we have done in the past, that day when we put Christ on by being buried with him to rise, to walk in newness of life, that's just God's amazing grace. That he shows us mercy. See, just think about sometimes your life. And you think about what I've done, and you think about what you have done, or even you think about what you're going to do. Because we all have sin. And just because you are a Christian, that don't mean that you're going to stop sinning. But in spite of all of this, God loved us so much that through the power of the word of God, he still extends love, mercy, grace upon each and every one of us. Why? Because he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any of us should perish, but that we all will come toward repentance. That's the goal. That's the desire of God. That's the reason why he said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforted, remember what he says. Look at that word there, John. He said us. Amen. Who is he talking to? Is he talking to TD? Is he talking to denominationalism? Is he talking to people who have not been called by the gospel? Well, who is he talking to? He's talking to us who have received that good gift, that perfect gift from above, which is the word, amen, that gives us constellation, that gives us what we need. See, that's what that us is. Now let me slow it down a little bit, because see, some of y'all ain't looking at us. See, you stand out in the wonder. You stand out wondering, well, it's hot in here. You know, and he know it's hot. And he need the shortness. See, I don't want to shorten this, because if I do, we're going to miss us, amen. Because see, when we leave here, see, us got to console us, amen. Us, that every good gift and every perfect gift, when nobody's around, when the devil come, we got to have that comfort to be as Jesus said, it is written, amen. And I want you to see, now look at what I see here. See, you see in your Bible, and make sure I'm not saying it wrong. Who is this us? Who comfort us? Who is he talking to? Well, he's talking to Christians. Amen. He's talking to those who obeyed the gospel according to the book of Acts, who believed in Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who have endured temptation, who is going to receive that promise through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the us that he's talking about. And the reason why I'm stopping and slowing it down, because see, I want to make it personal. See, because see, if you got your Bible, you should be writing me. Who is me? Damn, who is me? Quint, who is me? Frazier. Because that's the joy of being a child of God. See, weddings come and they stop and they go. It lasts a little while. The honeymoon lasts a little while, don't it? To reality set in until you get your first power bill. Amen. See, babies all right. Amen. Until they cry at 2:00 in the morning. And you got to get up and see after them. Amen. Or you just got to go to work. You mean, amen. And take care. But see, what I'm talking about, this us, this source, this every good gift, this every perfect gift, this blessing that we're talking about, this comfort that we get, that us is me and you. And don't you forget that. Because see, if Christians knew, what we have and what we receive, they wouldn't be argumentative about the word. They wouldn't be antagonistic toward the word. They won't be dull of hearing. They won't be hard of hearing. They'll be ready to receive the engrafted word because they still want to be a part of us because the engrafted word saves us. Amen? Y'all with me? Who comfort us in all tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Wow, watch this here. See, when you don't realize, number one, that you got us and you are confident in every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, number one, when you have tribulation, I can't help you if I'm not right myself. And that's what it says. Did I say it right? See, you can't very well help nobody else if you don't know you in us. Amen. Did I say it right? Did I talk about this morning that we all speak the same thing? Build the same mind? Build the same judgment? There's one body, but there are many members. See, but when we are contentious or when we are divisive, see, we lose to us. Amen. Because 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of what? Confusion. Amen. You lose that source of every good gift and every perfect gift. I want to read that one more time. Because, see, we live in a difficult world, but it's twofold. We got the source from above, and we got source one toward another. Amen? See, we can comfort one another. We can encourage one another. But guess what? The blind can't lead the blind. Don't you both going to fall in the ditch. Amen? See, look at it one more time. I want to read it one more time. He said, who comfort us in all our tribulation, not some, but all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God, for as the suffering of Christ, see, abounds in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. See, that's the blessing that we have by being in Christ Jesus. Now, go to Hebrews 12. See, still in life. Y'all with me? Y'all hold on. God ain't gonna let you fall out. Hebrews 12:5. See, Hebrews 12:5-11. To keep us straight, sometimes we have to suffer, to be chastised, to be made better. Because see, Hebrews 12:5-11, look what it says here. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when they are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth the chastisement and scorneth every son whom he receiveth. Now watch verse 7. He said, if you endure chastisement, God deal with you as with sons. For God is he whom the Father chastise did not. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Stop. Bring it home. Do it till you feel good. That's the best thing that I ever had. Something that's literally sending you to hell, and it's good. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sure is good. Y'all been there? Amen. Y'all know, y'all with me? See, I ain't got to get too detailed to bring it home. See, we serve the world and give it all honor and all glory more than we give glory to the Father. Amen. When this chastisement is going to destroy you, but what Jesus tell you, when I chastise you, it's going to make you better. And that's what he says. Look at verse 9 again. He said, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Did y'all hear what he said? For they verily for a few days chastised us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastisement for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And what that simply means, brethren, the word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And the word going to cut you coming and going, amen. It's going to be some times in your life that you're going to have to make decisions. It's going to make your family members mad. It's going to make your wife mad. Men, when you have to stand up and be a man and stand on the word. It's going to make your children mad. It's going to make people all around you quit even talking to you. But once you endure, once you be faithful, once you practice that every day by exercise, that is, that you put on the whole armor of God to fight the wiles of the devil. Don't quit. Don't give up. But for Christ's sakes, you're going to suffer. But brethren, it's going to make you better. And that's what he's talking about. But in order for you to be able to endure, you got to realize, number one, where your help comes from. And that's the source of every good gift and every perfect gift. Now, go to Hebrews 13. Because in Hebrews 13, in spite of what we just said, the Bible said he ain't going to never forsake us. The world will leave you. Amen. The world will get you out there and make you lose everything you got and forget about you. The world will make you cause you lose your marriage. Amen. You think you got something with a sweetie, but the world will make you lose your marriage and the devil turn his back on you. Amen. But with God's chastisement, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 and 6, that he will never forsake us. Because look what he says here. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is, that when you learn whatever state you find yourself in, that you're going to be content. That is, quit worrying about what you don't have and be thankful for what you got. Did y'all hear what I just said? Amen. Because every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. And what he's simply saying here, in spite of what you're going to go through and what I'm going to go through, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you, because we are blessed when we call ourselves children of God. Y'all with me? I go to James right quick. I'm going to wrap it up when I get through. James chapter 4. I'm start having a good time now. Amen. So I'm in it now, y'all. Amen. Because I'm stirring it up. Amen. That us is kicking me now. It's working. Ain't you having fun? Because see, in James 4, and we talk about this all the time, there are responsibilities. See, I've told you how you're blessed. I told you the source is every good and every perfect gift. I've told you that he comforts us in times of affliction. He chastises us. Why? Because he will never what? Forsake us, nor will he leave us. That's the blessing that we have. Now, God give. Now, what's your role, what's my role and responsibility in order to be able to keep it, to be that is, the us. Well, James 4:7. Number one, we got to be able to submit to God, submit to his word, by submitting to the providential workings in our life. And those providential workings in our life is the spirit of the authority that God will provide when we learn what contentment is. You know why we won't submit? Because sin has blocked you from every good and perfect gift. And because you don't receive through authority, through providential blessings through the word, you got to go get it from somewhere else. Because you're not getting it from here. So if you're not getting it from here, you got to go get it from somewhere else. Amen? See, my wife and I was talking about on the way to church, well, when you understand responsibility and your role as a Christian and what worship is, see, nothing gonna get in the way when you know that on the first day, it's nothing more important when the whole church come together in one place to worship. It's nothing gonna be more important. But see, you're not gonna understand that if you don't submit. Submit to God, submit to his word, and then submit to the providential workings provided by the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? This book, this comfort, this security that we have to realize that whatever state you may be in, I'm going to be with you because I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you. Now, things may get a little tough. Things may get a little rough, but that's all right. It's going to make you better. Amen. See, it's going to make you better. But you got to submit. See, let me tell you something. See, you're doing it the hard way when you do it through the flesh. Amen. Because people lose jobs. Bank accounts do get empty. See, people with credit power can't take it from you. Did you not know that? You not know one day you can have a $5,000 credit limit and you can be late just one time paying it and the credit bureau can get it and you can get a letter the next time and say we have downgraded your credit from $5,000 to $1,000 because you late one time? They can do what they want to do because it's fleshly, it's man-made. But we're not talking about that, amen? See, that don't save you. Whatever state you find yourself in, be what? Content. Because see, we ain't worried about that contentment. We're worried about the providential workings of God through blessings. Do you understand that? But until you see that you got to submit to God, that you got to submit to his word, see, you'll never receive it because, see, your focus is what you see. Your focus is, I got to keep my house. I got to keep my car. I got to do this. I got to do that. Well, you do. You do. But see, what you need to go back and examine yourself, and you need to make adjustments that is, that you can't put those things over God. Amen. But when you do that, you submit to worldly things versus just letting God take care of you. Through the providential. See, that's the reason why Kenny, see, when the argument came up or when the discussion came up about the Lord's Supper, well, see, they did not understand because, see, their submission to hold on to what they had. And they knew that if we didn't do it here, well, they can't quit working. So they got to find somewhere else to get it solved. But it's outside of God's word, right or wrong. Because they hadn't submitted. Right or wrong. And that's what we're talking about. See, when you go to James chapter, and look at what it says here. James chapter 4. Submit yourself therefore to God. See, if you don't submit, you ain't going to resist. The devil. And if you don't resist the devil, he ain't going to flee. He's going to stay right in your corner. Because your trust is in him. Your trust is in the flesh. You're not trusting in God's providential blessings. That every good gift and every perfect gift come from above. Then he said, when you do that, you got to draw. I know you get tired of hearing us say, you need to study to show yourself approved unto God. You need to pray without ceasing. You need not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to come ye out from among them. You need to be ye separate. I can go on and on. See, when you don't do that, you're not going to draw. How you going to draw when know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, when you're not putting nothing in the temple? Because you're so busy submitting, trying to hold on to something you can't take with you. Amen. Draw nigh to God. Look what it says here. He says here, and he will draw nigh to you. That is, when you exercise godliness, when you grow, and when you desire the sensitive of the word, when you're not hard of hearing, when you're not dull of hearing, and when you draw closer, that wall get closer, realize every good gift, every perfect gift from above, man, you're going to get closer, you're going to get closer. What I told you about your wife, man, daughter's just getting good and gooder. She's just getting gooder. You be looking at your wife and say, you getting gooder too. I be looking at mine. She can't get good for you. Amen. See what I said? You'd be looking at your wife. You're getting good too. God don't respect a person. Amen. If he's getting good for me, it's the same providential blessing. Amen. Because see, it's working with me because we're working more in the word. Amen. Am I right? Don't wait till you get a car. Oh, I meant to tell you. You're getting good too. I meant to tell you. Behind closed doors, secret agent lovers. I'm not being facetious. I'm just trying to get you to see. See, when you draw nigh, because you submit and you resist, see, it makes everything better. She gonna start cooking. See, and it gonna get gooder. It ain't gonna get better. Amen. Because you're going to learn contentment. You're going to learn providential blessings. You're going to realize it's just going to make everything just so much better simply because when you build that relationship with God, your relationship with everybody else is going to be better. It got to be better. Because the stuff God used, we can't lose. And then he talks about don't be double-minded now. Don't sit up here and smile and say amen and you agree with me and you really don't. And what you sow, you gonna reap it. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you'll never fool God, amen. You can get up in here and tell folk what you need to do and how you need to live, but you know a tree by its fruit. What's done in the dark gonna come to light. You can run, but you sure can't hide. Amen. So don't be double-minded. See, because verse 10 said, you got to do all the above to be able to humble in order to be lifted up. And this is called responsibility that we may well, hold on to that us. See, the blessing that we have by being in Christ Jesus. Yeah, brethren, you know, yeah, that wedding day was a wonderful day. The birth of your children was a wonderful day. Birthdays are a wonderful day. I love birthday. I love birthday cakes. But boy, there ain't nothing like being a Christian. That day. That new journey. That new journey. That journey you began. I remember that journey you began. See, that journey we all, go back and think about it. Amen. See, to reflect what God has done for you. Not because you've been so good, but because of the love of God. If there be one here today that needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, come right now as we stand there, we sing.